I'm Michelle Pizer and welcome to the second season of Crack the Leadership Code. You'll be learning how to build your team, increase your impact and make a difference, and I'm your host. I created this summit because I'm passionate about leadership and creating workplaces that are nicer places to be. The research shows time and time again that leadership makes a real difference. To help you improve your leadership, I'm interviewing incredible people like Joel Garfinkel, who is our guest today. I'm excited to bring Joel on, but before I do, let me introduce him by reading you his bio. So Joel Garfinkel is recognised as one of the top 50 coaches in the US, having worked with many of the world's leading companies, including Oracle, Google, Amazon, Deloitte, the Ritz-Carlton, Gap, and Starbucks. He has 17 years of first-hand experience working closely with thousands of executives, senior managers, directors, and employees. He is the author of 300 articles on leadership and 7 books, including Getting Ahead, 3 Steps to Take Your Career to the Next Level. More than 10,000 people subscribe to his Fulfillment at Work newsletter. So if you sign up, which you'll talk a bit more about later, you'll also receive the free ebook, 41 Proven Strategies to Get Promoted Now. So, and on his website, there's over 200 free articles on leadership, work issues, and career advancement. So, Joel, I want to welcome you to our interview today, and thanks for being here.
You're welcome. I'm excited to be a part of this. Michelle, it's pretty neat what you've created with the Leadership Code.
Oh, thank you. It's actually awesome. I'm loving doing it, and I'm so glad you're part of it. Look, before we talk about how you cracked the Leadership Code, tell us how you came to be interested in leadership. I'm wondering how you started and got to where you are now.
Well, for me, even in college, I took some leadership classes under the disguise of psychology and was really drawn to them and fascinated and couldn't get enough of the reading material and the concepts. And I remember, like, highlighting different sections from leadership books, and I was, like, 19, 20 years old. And little did I know I'd be spending my life kind of studying that and really understanding what makes a leader great and successful in their lives and in their careers, and how can one person be more successful than another. So
it's been a lifelong journey almost, all your adult life.
Yes.
Wow.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so you've just been taking one step in front of the other to...
Kind of. I mean, it's interesting because it's when I look back at it, because at the time I didn't necessarily know that that's what my career was going to look like. My career took a different forms of working for some corporations, and I lived in Hong Kong and worked there for 2.5 years in Asia. And I had different companies, different jobs, but then I left a corporate job with, at the time, Anderson Consulting. They're now Accenture, and then started my own business, my own executive coaching practice. And I now, I can look back fondly and see that how the breadcrumbs were laid behind me to create the life I live today. But in the moment, for a good 5 to 7 year period, it was hard to tell necessarily what the connection was. But it did start back in college of my curiosity for leadership and curiosity of understanding human behavior. And why is one person can be more successful than another?
Yeah, I've had a bit of a portfolio career myself, and only looking back now, like, I've felt quite lost at times. And looking back now, I'm thinking, oh, now that makes sense. Now I use what I was doing then, and I had no idea why I was doing it.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah, it comes together.
It does.
So yeah, which is a relief. So. So, Joel, what's your take on how to crack the leadership code?
Well, the key thing I see is something I created from my recent book. It's called the PVI model, and it's from my Getting Ahead book. And the whole idea is that the P and the V and the I, it stands for perception, visibility, and influence. And I feel the leadership code, so to speak, can be cracked when you focus on how you're being perceived inside an organization, which is the P part, and how you can increase your visibility inside an organization, and ultimately the I part, which is creating influence. And when you put those three together, you're able to stand out from your competition, you're able to have a competitive edge, and you're not allowing anything that might limit you in your career to hold you back. So in some way, it's a hidden code that allows you to be on equal playing ground for other people who have found their own way of being successful. Here's your own way to apply what you need to do so that you can make sure that you're standing out from the competition that surrounds you and that you can reach your full potential in the work you're trying to do.
Oh, so how do you do each of those elements? Like for example, how do you increase your perception, or and what's the power of that, just to start with the P, for example?
Well, the key thing with the P part is it's interesting because the perception piece is all about what people notice about you and
yeah.
the behaviors that make an impression, the image you have, the attitudes you project, the opinions you hold. And so ultimately you start to realize it's important how others are seeing you. Perception is important because ultimately what we end up realizing is that it determines how people view you, how they act towards you and around you. So you're either being perceived positively or negatively every day of your work. And you want to proactively shape other perceptions that people have of you. That's going to really impact your ability to achieve career advancement. You start to realize, you know, Carly Fiorina, who was former HP CEO, mentioned leadership is a performance. You have to be conscious about your behavior because everyone else is.
So, yes, everyone else is.
Exactly, and that's a key part. Everyone else is, well, are you? Because too often we do a certain behavior and we have no idea the impact it can have.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what I found with perception is that you can really change it. And because sometimes people wonder, you know, can you change your perception or not? And it really can be changed. And I have some ideas I can share about how to change that.
Cool.
Some ideas that people can do because they're going to want to know, like, well, how do you change a perception? That seems like something that you're just stuck with. Well, imagine if you had a bunch of you started identifying advocates who could speak up on your behalf. Well, if advocates start speaking up on your behalf, people are going to start believing the advocates more than they're going to believe the perception. And so the advocates are going to start to influence how you're being seen. That can have really huge impact. Another way is you can change perceptions by interacting with your organization's senior leaders. This can directly impact and improve perception because the senior leaders are the ones making the decisions. They have a tremendous amount of influence. Well, are you doing a good job making yourself known to them and interacting with them? So there's a couple ones. Another one could be you could speak up about your accomplishments to others. Because too often times people are a little bit hesitant, shy, they're introverted. They don't end up speaking up as much as they could or should. And I find that what ends up happening is people don't know who you are. They don't know your accomplishments. They don't know your impact, your value. And the challenge that comes with that is it's hard for them, you know, besides having advocates speak up on your behalf, it's hard for others to not know the good work you're doing unless you're doing a good job communicating what it is you are doing.
How do you do that without being like a
braggart?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to toast your own horn. You don't want to brag. You don't want, you know, here's the thing. If you can stick to the facts, stick to the work you do that is factual, that is based on the projects you're owning, the projects you're doing. Talk about your team. Talk about things that are going well. But stick to the facts. Don't talk about grandiose ideas. You know, you're working hard on a project and the project's going well. Be proud of that. Own that. Let that stand up for itself. Just don't be in a situation where, because the worst thing you can do is say, oh, I'm going to let my work speak for itself. You know, that's the number one limiting belief that can negatively impact a person's career. Because you can't assume the decision makers are aware of your accomplishments. Senior management, they need to know how valuable that you actually are. Don't assume that others are aware of the good work you're doing. Because if you do that, you're going to rely too much on luck, chance, and hope for career success.
Oh.
And those are three things that aren't going to be the things you can rely on. You have to rely on your own ability to have advocates speaking up on your behalf and that you're communicating your accomplishments, your impact, and your value in the organization so people know who you are and the decision makers value the work you're doing.
How do you find an advocate?
So finding an advocate, it's not as hard as people think. You know, you can look in your organization and say, are there some people, has anyone in the company in the last month said anything good to you about the good work you're doing? Well, of course they have. Well, those are budding advocates. If they're saying good work about what you're doing, have you ever asked them to say, do you mind sharing that with my boss? Do you mind sharing that with my boss's peer? So now all of a sudden you got people speaking up and saying good things about you because you asked them to. it's not.
They might not have just thought about it. Yeah.
Most people don't think about that, and then they feel too fearful. Like, can I really ask that? Of course you can. And the other piece is finding an advocate. Look for people that believe in you, that care about you, that think you do good work. It might be your boss. It might be a peer. And they take an interest in you. And then ask them, say, hey, you know, I'm trying to make sure people in the organization know the good work I'm doing. You know, can you be an advocate? Or you're trying to get a promotion and a person says, yeah, I think you deserve it. You say, can you let my boss know some of the good work I'm doing? You know, asking people to be advocates for you, getting them to speak up about the good work you're doing.
And I'm thinking, even if you're in a smaller organization where you do know the people of influence, like the more senior leaders, you still need to let them know about your good work.
Absolutely. You do, and you can't just let your work speak for itself. You have to make sure people know the good work you're doing. That's why I tell my clients, it's like, yeah, you can work hard and be the smartest person and get great performance reviews, but if only your manager, only your department knows, that's not enough.
Yeah, you've got to get smart about letting everyone know and getting people to let other people know, the advocates.
Exactly. And you can have your manager or even his boss's boss, you know, acknowledge your contributions publicly. That's another thing that they sometimes don't even know how to do because they just don't think this way. But encourage your boss to share with his or her boss your overall value to the firm. That's another way to change perception.
Yeah, okay. Because it is, like, once you've got the first impressions, it's very hard to break them. But, I think that's why it's so hard to change them. But it's not impossible at all.
Right.
And also, you might not have a strong they might not have a strong perception of you if they don't really know you.
Exactly. If they don't know you, then they're going to think of you just based on the surface of what they see. So you actually have room to dictate and change and alter and improve what it is. And most people who often consider, like, I don't want to be seen as a bragger. I don't want to see someone who's boasting too much about myself. You know, a lot of people who think that are the ones who are a little more introverted, a little more shy, a little more hesitant at promoting themselves. And I could promise that if I was in a room with 50 of people like that, and I said, raise your hand if you've ever been accused of being a braggart, I guarantee not one person in that room will raise their hands.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to be accused of that. But for that exact reason, no one's going to think that that's the motive of where they're coming from. Versus you get someone who's gregarious, outgoing, obnoxious, all about themselves, taking credit for other people's work. They know exactly where that person stands. So you actually have more room to be communicative about the good work you're doing than you might realize.
Yeah, because you're starting from a low base, really.
Exactly, and people are going to assume that's not who you are, and they're not going to see it that way either, even though you are concerned you're going to be viewed that way.
Yeah, yeah. So how can you be more memorable at work then?
Well, you know, the key thing to being more memorable at work, because now we're moving into, from perception, we're moving into more visibility. And so if we take the PVI model, the visibility piece is if you want to become more memorable at work, because why should you be memorable? Well, you want to be memorable in order to put yourself and become known, become known for something, whether it's a brand or something that you have. And so first, you got to really understand the benefit of being visible at work. Because once you understand the benefit of being visible, then becoming memorable becomes a second component of that. So, you know, if you think about any leader out there, name a leader who is invisible. Well, chances are it's hard to do. You know, to be a leader inside an organization, you must be visible. They need to be, you know, visible to be seen and to be seen to be effective. So the thing I've seen is that without visibility, you won't be noticed. Career progression can come to an abrasive halt. And it's really challenging when that happens because people are like, hey, I'm an individual contributor. I'm doing great work. I'm performing well and getting great reviews. And all of a sudden, they try getting to that next level. And then they start lacking visibility and they start realizing that visibility is actually impacting their career progression.
Oh.
So people who make decisions about your career, they need to be aware of your value. Well, if you're not visible, then your value is not visible.
Yeah, so it can't be.
Yeah, you can't just rely solely on putting your head down, doing your work well, going home, that's enough. That's not it. You got to be also aware about, am I getting noticed by the people who matter most? And then we can now move into the memorable piece. And so how do you become memorable at work? Well, you got to be on high-profile projects. You know, being memorable is about leveraging your manager to help increase other people's awareness of you. Being memorable can be gaining face time with top executives. Being memorable could be finding cross-departmental opportunities. It could be becoming involved in outside of your job, in other arenas, maybe volunteering in a group within your organization and committees in your organization so that you can become more known.
I remember once speaking with a lady who, she got herself on the social committee because she couldn't find any projects that she could become more visible on, so she,
That's great. Yeah,
went
exactly.
That way.
And I think, you know, the thing about memorable is, like, what's my brand? What do I want to be known for? And so it's thinking about that. What do I do in my work that I can be known for? Because if we don't have something that we're known for, then people don't really see, like, oh, yeah, he's the numbers guy, or he's the one who's really good with people, or he makes his team better, or he knows how to really run that project effectively. Like, what is your brand? So that's another piece of kind of the memorable part of it.
I was always the go-to person for emotional, like, you know, tension problems in the workplace. How do we fix this? How do I write this email?
Right. And you start to notice a pattern, and you start to realize, you know, that's what you're becoming known for. And sometimes it's what you want. Sometimes it may not be. But I think...
Oh, I liked it.
Yeah. I mean, of course you did, because that's something that led you into the career that you have today.
That's right.
But I think visibility is such an important piece, because I've seen too often, you know, having worked in Asia... There's a proverb that says that a Japanese proverb that says that the nail that sticks out gets hammered down. So why in the world would I want to be visible if I'm going to get hammered down? You know, why do I want to put myself out there and say something that could be wrong? But so it involves a bit of risk taking. It involves a bit of courage to be visible and put yourself out there. But that's how you're going to succeed. And at some point in your career, you have to start doing that. That's what's required for the next level of leadership. That's how you crack the leadership code in what we're talking about today.
Yeah, because we have tall poppies, which is a similar thing, like the nail that stands out, where they get cut down.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yep, so it's about taking that risk, coming out of your shell kind of
yes,
thing.
Yes, exactly. Yep, you got it.
Oh, so how can you lead through influence? What's the influence piece?
Yeah, so we've talked about perception, we talked about visibility, and now we're moving into the PVI model, we're moving into the I piece, the influence piece. So the key thing is that once you have perception and visibility taken care of, in some way throughout your career you're aware of influence, but once your perception's solid and you're being more visible, you actually have more opportunities to lead through influence. And to be a person of influence, you're someone who makes key decisions inside the organization. You know, how do you lead through influence? Well, you have impact. You leverage your power to maybe alter or change or improve a situation. You motivate. You arouse interest. You sway others to do what's deemed important. You're able to get the most out of your people. And you're really dependent on. You know, people are depending on you. You're seen as a difference maker. You're able to have the courage to make tough and important decisions. So when you think about it, to lead, one must be influential, and to be a great leader, you have to influence many. And so the more you can influence change in your workplace, the more you're seen as a greater, more impactful leader. And so when you're leading through influence, I identify, and I talk about this in the Getting Ahead book, I identify five traits from all my work with my clients, my executive coaching clients I've had over the last 17, 18 years, and there's five traits I notice that all influential people have.
Oh, what are they?
And these five traits that no matter where you are in your career, you can think about them and say, how can I start doing each one of these traits? Because if I want to become more influential, I don't have to wait for the right title, the right power, the right position. You can start being influential no matter where you are in the organization. And it starts by adopting these five traits. And so the first one is a solid reputation. And that is, and so, I mean, if I had to go through, I'd give you a high overview instead of just giving you the one I mentioned. First one is solid reputation. The second trait is enhanced skill set. Third one is executive presence. The fourth one is superior likability. And the fifth one is the power to to persuade.
So number four was superior. I just didn't quite hear you properly. Likeability.
Superior likeability. Yep.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yep. To be likable, but likable. Have people be drawn to your, you know, personality. What I often find is too often people, you know, there's something to be said about having other people like you, be drawn to you, be interested in you, be curious about, you know, who you are. People, these are the type of people like to be around. And so that can be quite powerful when you have, you know, personable, you're charismatic, you're optimistic, you're kind of a motivator of people. That's what likability is about.
Okay.
Power to persuade is more about being persuasive, collaborative, building consensus, alliances. Executive presence is more about being powerful, confident, assertive, a leader. You know, some people just have that and some people don't, but you can still learn it. It's a trait that can be developed. And then enhanced skill set is being really competent at something and being authoritative in something and then being accomplished. People come to you for your knowledge capital, and those become moments of influence. And then the first one I talked about was solid reputation. That's about you're credible, you're respected, you're trustworthy, you have a reputation that people are drawn to. And people, that's huge, because when you have a solid reputation, people are going to be more drawn to open up to you, more drawn to go to you for things.
Yeah, they'll trust you.
They will trust you, exactly, yes.
So, yeah, you don't have to be at any level. I mean, you can be at any level to have, yeah, these traits apply at any level.
They do, and what people don't realize, I mean, that's why I find it fascinating, is that here I am saying that it doesn't matter your title, your position, or power. What matters, no matter what level you are in your company, is that these traits can start to be worked on now. And so when people get that, they're like, wow, I can start being influential now when I apply these traits. That means they don't have to wait for that position or title to come to them. They can start generating now. Now, let's take a group of people that are already influential. They're high-level executives inside an organization. Well, they can take these five and say, 1 to 10, where am I at? Which one am I an 8 at? Which one am I a 6 at? Which am I a 7 at? So they can identify the five and say, which one am I weaker? Which one am I stronger at? Which ones do I need to improve upon?
Yeah, yeah, because they're likely to have the enhanced skill set and possibly even the solid reputation, but those other characteristics, maybe not so good.
Exactly, and then you evaluate that, and you can start to see which I need to improve upon, which one do I do well, and which one can I do better, and which one can I leverage even more.
What a neat framework.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking about, like, I'm just thinking about politics, actually, in organizations.
Yes.
And thinking about this influence and politics, I'm thinking, how does it, because none of this is sort of dirty tactics.
No, but you're saying, like, how do you deal with politics?
Yeah.
Well,
and how is this linked to politics, I guess, too?
Well, I would say the whole PVI model is linked to politics in the sense that people don't like playing the political game. But if you look at it, the most successful leaders are the ones who leverage and apply perception, visibility, and influence better than anyone else. See, you can't just rely on what I've observed with observing many people in the workplace over the years, is you can't just rely on your talent, your skills to get ahead in the workplace. It's not enough anymore. And the ones who advance the quickest and the fastest aren't the most deserving and the most talented. No, they're the ones who know how to leverage and apply perception, visibility, and influence better than anyone else. To me, that's playing the political game. So, you know, we can call it politics, we can call it this or that, but, like, transformation and advancement of your career can come from when you can implement a model like this and not see it as a game to be played, but more as, I can't just let my performance and my talent and my skills be enough anymore. There's a whole game being played, and I need to start to play it. But don't see it as a game. See it as smart tactics that leaders, some naturally know how to do, and some don't at all.
Yeah, yeah. It's completely different. It's about self-development.
It is about self-development, and it's about taking ownership of your career, and don't let your career be dictated by others. You take ownership of what you're capable of doing, and you don't let other people dictate how you're being perceived. And you don't let other people dictate whether you're going to choose to be visible or not. You're going to choose how they're going to perceive you, and you're going to be visible in the way that they're going to see you with your impact and value, and it's going to be known, and you're making that visible, and then you'll be seen as an influential leader. And the combination makes you pretty unstoppable in what you can create in your career.
It's very exciting, and I sort of think I've got some work to do, because as you're reading out those five traits for influence, I'm thinking, oh, I know where I need to step up and
yes.
do some work.
Yes, yes.
It's not
great.
So easy to do, but it's nevertheless, it's like it helps identify where you need to skill up.
Yes, exactly, and that is really important, because that gives people an opportunity, like, oh, good, now I understand where I'm at, and now I understand what I need to do to make a difference in my career.
Yeah, awesome.
What I need to do to step it up.
Yeah, thank you. Very helpful. And look, I do hate to cut you off, but we are coming to the end. And I know, like I briefly mentioned before about your free giveaway. Would you mind taking a couple of minutes to tell our listeners a little bit more about it?
Sure. You know, I have if you sign up for my newsletter, which goes out to 10,000 people and has articles on in-depth profiles on famous leaders and articles on how to get ahead in the workplace and career transitions, and has tips and quotes. It's really a powerful and simple form to gather more knowledge in a simple way that I send in my newsletter on a weekly basis. And so if you sign up for that, you end up getting an e-book on 41 ways to get promoted in the workplace. So it lays out systematically, like, this is how you can get promoted, so that, you know, again, career advancement can be something that you can start to prepare for now. Because what you don't want to do, whether it's my Getting Ahead book or whether it's a free ebook on getting promoted, you don't want to wait until you're at the performance review and they're saying you didn't get it. You should be systematically laying out a game plan for yourself on what your career promotion is. Even I have my clients that once they get that next promotion, day one, they're already preparing for the next promotion.
Wow.
Nothing is left to chance. They're defining their career. They're not letting other people define it for them.
Awesome. Yeah. Like, it's a way of taking charge of yourself.
Exactly.
That sounds terrific. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And if before we go, if there was one practical step that our audience could implement today to improve their leadership skills, what would that be?
I would say talk to 5 different people. Write down 5 different people's names right now. And next to those names, what I want you to do is put down their email address or their phone number. I want you to contact them within 48 hours. And what I want you to do is ask them, how do they feel you're perceived in the organization? So do your due diligence. Find out, ask how you're being perceived so that you have a baseline to understand how you're being perceived in the organization, so you can see if you're perceived in ways that might surprise you positively, but you might also be surprised by some of the things that you didn't realize people perceived you in ways that could be negative. And so you take that data, and then you have something to work from to actually start to improve how you're being perceived in the organization, so your career won't be limited by how other people are seeing you.
That made me feel anxious because it's a risk.
There is a risk involved because you now have to find out what people think. But let me tell you this. As much as it's a risk, let me say that every single person you're going to ask and any person in the organization, by definition, we judge each other naturally as human beings. So these people already are thinking this about you. You might
that's
as well
true.
Ask what it is so that the data that's inside their head is being shared with you, so you have something to work from to start to make changes in the behavior that they want to see but are too scared or too hesitant to share it. But if you ask, they'll share it. So my point is, everyone's already thinking it. You might as well ask it.
You might as well. And also, maybe not just to ask people who are on your fan club, but to ask people who aren't.
Absolutely. The more you get from a diverse group, whether it's people below you, at the peer level, or above you, the better chance you're going to have of a more complete picture. And then you can do something with that. And sometimes people are pleasantly surprised to find that people think they're a lot more talented, a lot smarter, more confident than they themselves see themselves as. And that can do a world of difference to how you see yourself.
Yeah, and your confidence. And
yep.
It's like doing your own 360.
Yes, exactly. It is like that.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Oh, look, thank you so much. And look, everyone, don't forget to sign up for Joel's newsletter and get access to all those wonderful free gifts and, you know, all those articles and also the ebook. And if you want to find out more about Joel, go to garfinkelexecutivecoaching.com. Thanks so much again, Joel. It's been fantastic. I've got a lot of work to do now, but still really fantastic. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
And thank you also, everyone, for listening. This is Michelle Pizer, host of Crack the Leadership Code, and I'll see you next time.